From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Welcome to our program. This is Ivan Foster, and I hope that you will stay with us as we turn to the Word of God for a few minutes this evening. We're going to continue with our study of the seven sayings of Christ upon the cross. We've reached the fourth saying, the middle saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We will also have another reading from my book, The Shadow of the Antichrist, which we are offering free to anyone who contacts us and requests it. Remember also we're offering a tape of a sermon on the latest craze in children's games, Pokemon. The Reverend Paul Fitton of Dungannon preached a warning to parents on this matter, and we're giving that tape away free to anyone who contacts us. Now, let's have that extract from The Shadow of the Antichrist. In this reading, we're introducing Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, the throne set in heaven. The beginning of this chapter 4 marks the beginning of the prophetic section of the book of the Revelation. It is the will of God that his people be instructed in the things that shall come to pass. This book demonstrates this. Such instruction was an integral part of the apostolic ministry. Paul was able to write to the Thessalonian church and remind them that he had dealt with the issue of the manifestation of the man of sin, whose destruction would come about at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? 2 Thessalonians 2:5. Paul underlines the fact that his teaching of the churches included the vital subject of eschatology, or the study of the last things, when he again said to the Thessalonian church, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This book of the Revelation is a book of prophecy, and it is with it that God closes the canon of Holy Scripture. We cannot preach the whole counsel of God without giving to prophecy its proper place in our message. We emphasize this truth again because there is a strong antipathy toward the study of prophetic subjects amongst many ministers. There is no question about the abuse that the study has been subjected to by sensation seekers with their charts and predictions of when exactly the Lord will return. But then every doctrine set forth in God's Word has been subjected to perverse interpretations and falsification. Who amongst us would boldly declare that we never preach the doctrine of the atonement or the resurrection of Christ, because it has been the subject of such division and controversy? We would be horrified at such a thought. In like manner, the deliberate avoidance of a close study of prophecy, which occupies a large portion in God's Word, simply because it has attracted controversy, must be considered wrong. The one who avoids the study of prophecy is required to avoid much of the teaching of the Savior. Many of the parables have a prophetic character, particularly those of Matthew chapter 13. The chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew are given over entirely to answering two questions that were posed by the disciples. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world?" Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Far from discouraging his disciples in their pursuit of such a topic, the Lord gives them a very detailed answer to their questions. Is it possible that a true disciple of Christ can say that a close study of the Savior's answer is not profitable? Antipathy toward a study of prophecy is an unthinkable position to adopt when viewed in this light. We will have a further reading from my book, The Shadow of the Antichrist, which is a commentary on the book of the Revelation, next week. Remember, while supplies last, we're happy to send out copies to those who request them. They're free. Now please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, and it's the chapter 27. There, in the verse 46, we have the fourth saying of the Savior upon the cross. Listen to what we read. And about the ninth hour, that's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This fourth cry, and as we said last week, the middle cry of the seven sayings of the Savior upon the cross, displays for us the depths of the Savior's sufferings. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Remember what it was that the Lord Jesus was doing upon the cross. He had said repeatedly in his preachings, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. He had said, I am not come to be ministered unto, but to minister. I am come to give my life a ransom for the many. He said that man could only live through the shedding of his blood. The Lord Jesus on the cross was dying as the sinner's substitute. He was dying to make an atonement for his people. And in his death upon the cross, in his sufferings as the sin-bearer, I want you to see that the Lord Jesus Christ was forsaken of his Father. He was forsaken of his Father. Peter tells us that our sins were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We're reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, the verse 18, For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The Lord Jesus in himself was not a sinner, for in him there was no sin, but he became sin. That is, on the cross our sins were laid upon him, and he became sin. The depths of the Savior's sufferings are symbolized by the sun being hidden during the time of his sufferings on the cross. In the verse 45 of this chapter 27 of Matthew we read, Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And it was at the end of this unnatural period of darkness that the Savior says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There on the cross, suffering the penalty of the sins, the crimes, the transgressions of his people, Jesus Christ was separated from God. He was forsaken of his Father. In this, he was being treated by the Father as sin. 2 Corinthians, the chapter 5, and the verse 21. An important verse in the Gospel Revelation. Verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5. I'm anxious for you to look it up and see for yourself what the Word of God says. For he, that is the Father, hath made him, that's the Savior, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself our sins, he became sin. And he was treated as such by the Father. God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. God cannot have sin in his presence, holy God that he is. Consequently, when at the cross the Lord Jesus took on him our sins, he was separated from the Father. That is the depths of the Saviour's sufferings. Christ was left in darkness to suffer for 3 hours in a fashion, in a form that we can never understand or comprehend. The Lord Jesus was enveloped by the wrath of God, for the wrath of God fell on him, the wrath of God that was my due, upon the Lamb was laid, and by the shedding of his blood, for me the debt he paid. It was the great Baptist preacher of the last century, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who wonderfully said that at the cross the Lord Jesus Christ drank hell dry for me. You see, he suffered all the wrath of God. He embraced all the judgment that was due for the sins of his people. The Lord Jesus absorbed all of God's holy fire and judgment. It burned itself out on him. And there is now no wrath. There is now no judgment. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Forsaken of God, that sinners might never be forsaken. I wonder, are you under the blood of the Lamb? In our hymn book we have a hymn written by Mrs. Alexander, the wife of Bishop William Alexander. She wrote some lovely hymns, All Things Bright and Beautiful, Once in Royal David's City, and the one that I want now to quote to you. There is a green hill far away without a city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified who died to save us all. We may not know, we cannot tell, what pains he had to bear, but we believe it was for us he hung and suffered there. He died that we might be forgiven, he died to make us good, he died that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Oh, dearly, dearly has he loved, and we must love him too, and trust in his redeeming blood, and try his works to do. Oh, that you might come to him, calling on him for mercy, and know what it is to be pardoned on the basis of the blood of Jesus. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.